the dreaming. It is evening. The castle of Morpheus of the Endless, Lord of Dreams. You will note that since we briefly digressed to follow events at St. Hilarion's School for Boys, the castle is no longer on a high hill. Now it is beside a lake. A huge fairy tale castle, light spilling out from its windows, reflected in the still waters. The location of the Dream Palace may change, but its main gate is always guarded by the same heraldic animals, the griffin on the left, the winged horse, a hippogriff, on the right, and the dragon-like wyvern stretched out on the lintel above. Two horses trot towards them, each with a rider on its back. The horses are noble thoroughbreds glittering with finery. The riders are dressed in silks. One is male, one is female.
Greetings to you, good gatekeepers. I pray you tell your master that Clurican of Faery is here as a messenger and would have words with him.
Clurican wears a thin silver headband and fine clothes of silk. He has high cheekbones, discreetly pointed ears and eyebrows. His hair is long, tied at the back. He is unfazed as the huge head of the griffin moves to tower over him.
You are one of many to arrive this day, Clurican of Faery. The Lord of Dreams is holding a feast for his visitors. If you and your companion advance, you will find yourselves in the banqueting hall. Leave the horses here. They will be stabled and groomed. Our Lord bids you enter.
I thank you, good gatekeeper. Nula, come.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 6.
Season of Mists, Chapter 5, in which a banquet is held, and of what comes after, concerning diplomacy and bedrooms, blackmail and threats, and an unusual recipe for sausages. Inside the gate, waiting in the vast marble lobby, Morpheus, dressed formally in a black robe, greets the latecomers. Behind him is the open doorway to his banqueting hall, from which the sound of discourse and debate can be heard.
Hello, Clurican. Be you welcome in my house this night.
Thank you, Lord Shaper. I am sent here as an ambassador from the Court of Faery. My sovereign lady and lord present their compliments. This lady is Nula, my sister.
Charmed, sire.
Clurican's companion drops a polite curtsy. A head shorter than he is, her hair is the same shade of blonde. She is as beautiful as her brother is handsome.
You have ridden far. Do you wish to refresh yourselves before you join the meal?
We'll join you, sire, if it's all the same.
You are the guests here. Your wishes are paramount. Follow me.
The banqueting hall is well lit by hanging lamps, burning torches and candles. In the distance, floating about 20 feet in the air, the two angels, Remiel and Duma, wings folded, watch as the newcomers descend the great staircase behind Morpheus. At the center of the hall is a cluster of tables, one for each group of supplicants who are Dream's guests. The Egyptians and the Norse gods, the demons and Princess Jemmy of Chaos, one with the Lord of Order and his genie of the box, and a small flat table for Lord Susano, the Japanese thunder god. The places are set with flagons of wine, water and ale, platters of food for all tastes, and high-backed chairs at which many of the guests sit. Servants clad in nightclothes move dreamily between the tables. Bust, the cat-headed goddess of the Egyptians, is seated next to Thor and attempting to ignore him. But he is huge and muscular and already three-fourths drunk, his hammer within easy reach.
Do you know who the mightiest of the Aesir is, eh? I'll tell you. That's me. That's right. Oh, more ale over here, and step lively.
A servant clad in pajamas, but waiting upon Dream's table, is part of tonight's dream for him, brings a pitcher of ale.
Here, Lord.
Good lad. Oh, lovely.
Bess, little Egyptian dwarf god, sits by Bust, eating a plate of rice cakes.
Just ignore the lad, blessed.
Bust has been served a huge stuffed mouse with an olive in its mouth.
You want to play with my hammer? Yeah, that's pussyhead. It's called Mjolnir. See if I rub it, it gets bigger. It's true.
I'm sure.
On the far side of Thor is Odin. And beside him, Loki. Odin is still wearing a long coat and a wide-brimmed hat. On his shoulder perch the grey and insubstantial shadows of two ravens. Odin has both hands wrapped around a huge goblet. His elbows rest on the table at each side of his wooden trencher, and he is brooding.
You're not eating, Loki Wolf's father. The Dream King's wines are good. You should wet your throat, at least.
After 1,200 years, I'm out of the habit of eating, Allfather. And I fear that wine would go to my head. No, I'm content to watch.
To the right of Loki, sitting on a pile of cushions so that she can reach the table, is shivering Jemmy, the four-year-old girl who is a princess of chaos. She has party food and cookies on her plate with a glass of lemonade. The servant in pajamas, a young man with rumpled hair, passes.
Can I have some more ice cream?
Certainly, Princess Jemmy.
I knowed you'd say that.
My lord, I was charged neither to eat nor sleep nor to wait before I gave the message from my king and queen. I understand that this may not be convenient, but
I would not have you risk the ire of Titania and Oberon, Clerican. Speak your peace.
Lord Shaper, you now own the hell that was once Lucifer's. By ancient compact, Fairy must pay the tyend, our tithe, to hell every 7 years. We are forced to sacrifice to them 9 of our wisest, our most beautiful. Lord, all these beings are here to persuade you to grant them the rights to hell, but it would be to the benefit of Fairy if hell were to remain empty. We beg you, give it to none of them.
I see.
Of course, it's not just a favor we'd be asking. There is much that Fairy can offer you. For example, Nula here, my sister. She's for you. A gift to show our good faith.
My lord.
Nula's look conveys a willingness to accommodate whatever Morpheus might desire this night, and her beauty could soften the defenses of the strongest mortal. But the Lord of Dreams is not mortal, and his face remains expressionless.
There are many visitors here, Clerican. They want many things. Tomorrow I will talk with you all and make my decision. Not now. Enjoy the banquet.
But my lord...
You have delivered your message. You have heard my response. Your obligation is fulfilled. The matter is ended, Clerican. Your impertinence invites my severest displeasure.
I beg pardon, Lord Shaper. I did not mean to presume...
Enough, Clerican. I will talk to you more later.
Come, sister. Let us find seats. Here... By this genie fellow, there are places laid and clean plates and glasses.
Clerican and Nula take their seats. Another servant approaches, a woman this time, but also a dreamer, clad in her night attire.
My lord, my lady, what would you like me to bring you?
Just wine. Bring me a bottle and a glass. Forget the glass, but make that 2 bottles.
I will have flower blossoms, please. Violets, rose petals, and gillyflowers. And water.
As you wish.
Good day, old genie.
I am the servant of the box. I am not to speak, save that which my master bids me convey.
Who is your master, O servant?
Lord Kilderkin of Order.
And where is he?
In the box.
Ah.
The oiled and polished genie gestures at the box itself, which sits on the table in front of him. It is unremarkable, made of plain cardboard. Further up the table, Loki watches, smiling, beside Odin.
And what do you see when you watch, giant's son?
I see many things, Gala's god, and they amuse me. I see Lord Susanna Onomikoto, a storm god, like your son, a lone member of his ancient pantheon. He drinks rice wine and eats raw fish. I see Anubis, jackal-headed god of the dead of the Nile Delta, feasting upon human hearts. What upon the dreams of human hearts, perhaps? The fairy woman eats the petals of flowers. I wonder why she's here, what she's thinking about. And I wonder what she would be like between the sheets. Yeah, it's been 1,200 years since I did that as well. I watched the demon contingent. Yeah? There is a peculiar flirtation occurring between Corazon and the Merkin Mother of Spiders. Watch.
Corazon, the punk demon with 2 mouths, uses his top mouth to eat bread, while his bottom mouth drains a goblet of wine. Sitting next to him is the Merkin, the mother of spiders. Corazon's hand fondles her upper thigh. She stabs the back of the roving hand with a fork.
Does that hurt, darling?
Oh, yes.
At the opposite end of the table, the genie is tipping a plate of food into his master's box.
I watch the Lord of Order, his form that of order made manifest, an empty receptacle. And, like all of us, Lord Kilderkin of Order is here for hell.
Little Father Glory! Yum!
I watch the Princess of Chaos, incarnate as a tiny child. I watch the servants. Sleeping humans shanghaied into a most peculiar dream in which they serve a gaggle of beings from the depths of their collective unconscious, a meal fit for the gods. I watch the angels. They do not eat, or flirt, or converse. They observe. I watch them in awe, Allfather. They are so beautiful and distant. The feet of angels never touch the base earth, not even in dreams. I can read nothing from their faces, much as I try. And what they are thinking, I cannot even imagine.
Duma and Remiel are sexless, perfect. 2 almost identical beings of pure light and substance. Their wings, huge and impressive, folded behind them, they stand in the air 20 feet above everyone else, watching impassively.
Is everything to your liking, Lord Odin?
Very much so. You're a fine host, Dreamweaver.
There is a matter we must discuss. You have something I need. And I have in my possession something you might want. Come closer. I would talk with you.
I see. After the banquet, wait in your room. I will send a flame to guide you to me, and we can talk then.
There will be an entertainment at the conclusion of this meal, Lord Odin. I trust you will enjoy it.
As Morpheus walks back towards the dais, upon which his table is set, he notes that the cat god, Bust, is finding it increasingly difficult to ignore her over-persistent admirer.
Come on, Missy Pussy. You and me, eh? Just one little kiss. Just one little feel. And maybe after that...
Thor! Behave!
Heed your father, Thunder God. My claws are sharp.
So what's this extra inducement Lord Azazel is going to offer Morpheus to make him give us back our lands? My sweet.
Later, precious. In my bedroom.
Near the table of demons, where Coronzon and the Merkin eat and fondle each other, the dreamers who have been serving food and drink finally pass close by each other.
Who are you? I know I've seen you before. What's your name?
Please, I have to serve this food.
Ow!
I warned you.
You didn't have to do that. I had to take a no for an answer. Women. I'm a god. They don't care. You're just like Seth. You're just like all the rest of them.
Leave me be, or I'll lay open the other side of your ugly face.
Ugly.
Oh, goody! A magic show!
The red plush velvet curtains of a small theatre stage, which moments ago did not exist, part to reveal footlights illuminating a casket on trestles.
Lords, ladies, gods, demons, princesses, and cardboard boxes. Presenting the amazing Kane and Gregory. Quiet, Gregory, that wasn't your cue.
Kane's brother Abel's feet protrude from one end of a casket on the stage, his head from the other.
Hey, what about me?
Shut up. The stooge doesn't get credit.
With Abel!
Will you shut up?
Kane walks out onto the stage dressed in classical magician's gear, a black top hat, black cloak, and tuxedo. He's brandishing a large saw.
Good evening. I am the amazing Kane, master of mystery and illusion. And this is my glamorous assistant, Gregory.
Gregory the gargoyle, large, green, scaly, like a pocket-sized dragon, lumbers onto the stage. He wears a spangled frock.
Thank you, Gregory. My first trick I call sawing a fat ninny in half.
Kane, I don't want it to do it.
Now don't wriggle this time, booby brains. The saw's pretty blunt, so it might take a while. Ladies and gentlemen, I will proceed to saw my brother in half.
As Kane begins to saw at the wooden box, Lord Susano Ono Mikoto beckons Morpheus, who is passing through the tables, back to his seat.
Yes, Lord?
It might come to pass that one could discuss certain matters with his venerable wisdom, the Shaper of Dreams, in a private place.
That would honor this person greatly, Lord Susano Ono Mikoto.
Morpheus turns to move off, only to find before him a human-sized rip in space, filled with eyes and teeth. It is the demon Azazel.
I, too, require a private audience with you.
Yes, very well, Azazel. I see no reason why we should not talk privately. I will send for you later. Yes, Princess Jemmy. Very amusing.
have to talk to you, Mr. Dreamer, and it's top secret. So sit down, and I'll whisper.
No, not here. I will send a flame to lead you to my apartments, Princess.
Sire!
Yes, genie.
Sire, my munificent master, Kilderkin of Order, here incarnated for our delight as a most sacred cardboard box, has manifested a message to be given only to you. We must talk. That is his message.
Very well. Bring your master to me later. I will send for you both.
Ta-da! My brother has been sawn in half. Wheel back that end of the box, Gregory. Show his innards. Now, my little trolley ogler, can you wiggle your right foot for the nice people?
Kane, you really can put me back together again, can't you?
Now, where is that brother of mine?
I tire of this nonsense, Lady Merkin. What is this inducement which will secure what we want from the Lord of Dreams?
Oh, Lord Corinsin, the answer to that question is not here.
Oh.
You must come to my bedchamber.
Oh, there's no time like now. Shall we?
I think we shall.
Where's his head?
That's what I'm asking you, little girl.
I tell you, the drunken oaf proposed to make love to me.
As host, I can but apologize, Lady Bast. You are obviously provoked, and I will speak to Lord Odin about it. Where is Thornarr?
I left him laying under the table, chanting some song to himself. It began, "My hammer has a huge, hard handle." Lasalt was also trying to wipe his vomit from the carpet with his beard.
Again, lady, I apologize.
It is no matter, Dream Lord. That was not why I wished to talk with you.
No? Then why?
We must talk in private. You have something that we want. Very badly. And we have something you desire.
Very well. Later. I will send for you, Lady Bast.
And what's in the empty box? Bless my soul, it isn't empty. It's got Abel's severed head inside it.
Jane!
Look! It's Mr. Shouty! Oh, he's a pooey man!
You...
Shut up. You said you wanted to be in show business, didn't you? And for my next trick, Gregory, the mincing machine, please.
No!
The demons Corazon and the Merkin enter her apartment in the Dream Palace. They stop in the middle of the room, peeling off each other's clothes, kissing each newly revealed erogenous zone. An intensely private moment of pleasure for them. It would be a disgusting sight for an unprepared visitor to stumble in on. But they are not going to be disturbed. The Merkin has made sure of that. Coronson's hand is resting on the Merkin's buttock. Her white evening dress has ridden up, exposing her thigh with its garter belt and white stockings. Their bodies are pressing together. Coronzon nuzzles and licks her neck with his two mouths. His eyes are closed, lost in an erotic dream world, all pink vanilla-scented flesh and white silk. He does not see the black spiders that had begun to crawl down her thighs. First one, then two, then tens, then hundreds. A river of arachnids, the children of the Merkin, the mother of spiders. He does not realize that the whole of her lower half and much of his is covered with spiders. They leave a silver tracery of web in their wake as they crawl rapidly up his dress shirt, weaving a shimmering layer of spider silk. As his ability to move diminishes, Coronzon opens his eyes.
What is this? No! No!
His mouth is gagged by a skein of web. He takes a step back in horror, trips and falls to his knees. Within seconds, he is wrapped like a mummy, just one terrified eye left uncovered. He peers out, up at the Merkin. A procession of spiders crawls along the floor, away from the webbed demon, back to their mother and up her legs. She looks down at the helpless creature, trapped in the massive webbing on the floor.
You asked what the other prize was, didn't you? What else our Lord Azazel was going to offer the Dream King in exchange for hell? Well, it must be obvious now, my darling. It's you.
And we end up with... Hand them to me, Gregory. A string of Abel sausages. Anyone for a second helpings? Thank you, everyone, from myself, my assistant, and the stooge. I'm the amazing Kane. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. If you didn't, I trust you'll get throat cancer and die without ever again uttering another word. Good night.
Good guests, good guests. That concludes this evening's entertainment and the banquet.
Didn't Mr. Shouty really be sausages?
We have a long day ahead of us tomorrow. I will hear your formal pleadings, and I will announce my decision. The time has come to go to the quarters I have assigned to you. I hope you all will find them to your liking. I suggest you leave this room at this time. It will cease to exist shortly. Good night. I shall see you all in the Great Hall tomorrow morn.
Please, don't go. I still don't even know your name.
I can't help it. I'm sorry. It's my doorbell, I think.
But... Oh, shit. The alarm.
The apartments of Dream's guests are luxurious and the beds comfortable. But few sleep this night. Lord Susano Onomikoto stands in contemplation of his mission as he waits for a summons. The Egyptian gods, Anubis, Bast, and Bes, share a room. The lights are dim. This does not inconvenience them. They're used to the darkness of tombs. Princess Jemmy sits on a child's bed, holding a rag doll. She's sucking her thumb. The genie of the box stands in the gloom, holding his precious charge. The box itself does nothing. The demon Azazel hovers in the air, a wisp of darkness full of eyes and teeth. All the mouths are grinning. Thor has all but passed out. Sprawled on the floor of the Norse god's apartment, looking like a beached walrus, Loki sits on him. Odin paces, plotting.
But you are the master of deception, Loki.
I've told you already, we cannot hope to trick him. Not here. The best we can do is negotiate. And we have something he must want. He'll negotiate.
Come.
What's that?
He said he would send a flame.
Oh,
it is time. He wishes to see me.
That's show off. There's nothing special about doing flames. Everything is flames. That's it, me. I'm doing lightning, me. That's what funny, huh? Lightning.
Morpheus sits on the stone chair, mounted on a dais in the center of his throne room. A small candelabra hangs from the ceiling, the only illumination, casting shadows downwards, lighting the walls in shades of orange and yellow. Morpheus has changed out of his finery. Now he wears a black t-shirt, jeans, and boots. On the arm of the stone chair is a silver goblet. In front of him stands Clurican, the emissary of Faerie.
After all, you have always been a good friend to our people.
I will deliberate upon it. Go. Follow the flame back to your quarters.
Yes, Lord Shaper.
Enter.
I thank you for agreeing to see me, Dreamweaver.
The pleasure is all mine, Rune Lord. I regret our discussion must needs be brief. I have much to do this night.
Some others to see, I'd hazard.
Perhaps. We have no time for nice words, Odin One-Eye. You wish me to grant you the hell that once was Lucifer's? I have not decided what to do with the place. Tell me then, why should it be yours?
I am a brave god. You know that to be true. There is only one thing that frightens me.
Ragnarok.
Indeed, Ragnarok. These days, too much of my time is spent hatching schemes to circumvent the darkness ahead of me and mine. I pick at it, irrationally, as a man picks at a sore. Some years ago, it occurred to me that it is easier to fight something one knows something about. I created a world, a notional dimension, and in it I fashioned a tiny Ragnarok.
Odin pulls an object out of the inside pocket of his coat. It's a small glass ball, perhaps reminiscent of a snow globe, but perfectly spherical. It glitters in the half-light.
In this tiny world, the last battle is fought, day in, day out, forever. I have learned much from it. One thing that surprised me, though, was when my little world gained further warriors, ones I had not created.
Morpheus can see tiny clouds in the globe and tiny figures battling among the clouds.
I do not know how they got there, nor why they fight, these little mortal heroes, but look, they war alongside my wee Aesir in the battle unending.
Morpheus looks more closely at the globe. There are frost giants battling Odin's forces, but also there are other tiny figures swooping in and out of the action. They are members of the Justice Society of America from humankind's 1940s. There is Hawkman, Starman, Dr. Midnight, and Wildcat. They belong to an age when Morpheus was a prisoner, sealed inside a crystal cage in an English cellar. But he knows who they are well enough.
And this will interest you, Dreamweaver. One of these interlopers has some of your essence in him. He is a vessel for a fraction of your soul. Were you to grant me the hell that was Lucifer's as my domain, I would give him to you. There.
Morpheus sees a figure in a gas mask, fedora, and green cloak. He recognizes Wesley Dodds, the 1940s crime fighter who, for lack of anyone else to assume the role in those years, called himself the Sandman.
I see.
You're a cool one, Morpheus.
Sometimes I think you could almost be one of the Aesir.
I am myself, Odin One Eye.
And?
And I keep my own counsel. I will give my decision tomorrow to all of you. There is nothing more to be said. This flame will guide you directly back to your rooms, Lord Odin. Do not stray off the path. I cannot guarantee your safety elsewhere in the palace, and it would grieve me to see you harmed.
I'm touched.
Enter.
Dreamy man, it is I, Princess Jemmy of Chaos.
Yeah, I know.
We want hell. We want somewhere to play. Gimmit!
And what exactly are you offering me, then?
You misunderstand me, Dream King. I'm not offering you anything. What I'm doing!
Jemmy grows. From a tiny little girl to a towering, grotesque creature of nightmare.
What I'm doing is threatening you. Give us the hell of Lucifer, Morpheus, or the entire host of Chaos will be at your throat until the end of time. From the Shivering Brigade to the Laughing Dancers, all of us.
Stop that this instant.
Huh?
Stop it. Stop it this instant. Is this meant to impress me, Jemmy? Is it meant to scare me?
That's right. You're meant to be Mr. Scared.
I am not scared.
You can have my balloon if you like.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow, Mr. Dreamy.
Yes. I bring my master in answer to your summons, O Great One.
Approach, genie.
Now, O Sultan of Sleep, reach your lily-white hand into my master, Lord Kinderkin of Order, and take the message there for you.
Read it to me.
Your wish is my command. My dear Dream, for many years now, myself and some of my fellow lords of order have been collecting the dream essences of the newly dead for the purposes of their own. We are prepared to return these to you in exchange for the Hell of Lucifer, which will become a new realm of perfect order under our dominion. Kilderkin.
And this is supposed to impress me. I am sorry, but I fail to understand why I should be interested in the dream stuff of dead mortals. I am no collector, forever treasuring and tabulating that which has no further use.
But my master, my wondrous master, he offers you...
something that I would have collected for myself had I a use for it. But I see he has another message for me. After all, he can speak for himself.
Indeed, O serene host, as you can see. Very well, Morpheus. If bribery will not work, reason might. Tomorrow, I shall plead the rightness of our claim. Perhaps that will convince you. That will be all. We shall leave you until tomorrow.
Aye, perhaps.
Enter, O Honored One.
As the Lord Susano Ono Mikoto enters, the decor of the Lord of Dreams' quarters subtly changes to become more Japanese. Even the shape of Morpheus's face alters to reflect that of his guest.
It should perhaps be mentioned that this one is here as a private individual. One has not come as part of his pantheon.
I understand. You may talk freely.
It is good. The gods of Nippon are very powerful. We're no longer worshipped as once we were, but we have adopted. Times have changed, and we have changed with them. We are expanding, assimilating other pantheons, later gods, new altars and icons. Marilyn Monroe is ours now, as a King Kong and Lady Liberty. My mother is queen of our own underworld. That is a most efficient place. Lucifer's hell should be ours too. It has much potential. Name your price. Whatever it is, we will pay it.
The matter will be given my most careful consideration. Honored Susano Ono Mikoto.
I bid you good night.
Please, and...
The room is now decorated with Egyptian frescoes and hieroglyphs. The cat goddess pads silently to Morpheus's throne. He remains human, but his eyes have become large and cat-like. The pupils are slits of starlight.
Lady Best.
I have something you want.
And that thing is?
Information. I see the world through the eyes of cats. There are things that are hidden from humans and gods that cannot be hidden from my people, Dream King. I know where your brother can be found.
I see.
I know where he hides. I, and I alone. Wouldn't that be worth the price of the hell of Lucifer to you and your family, Dream?
Perhaps.
I much prefer you in cat form, Dream, old friend. When you wear a human head, I find it so hard to know what you are thinking.
I am thinking that this meeting is at an end, Lady Best. Please return to your apartment and do not wander from the path as you return.
I am a cat. I walk by myself.
Matthew, what are you doing here?
Hi, boss. Lucien sent me up. I was talking to these two ravens, Hugin and Moon, and telling them the story of my life. Nice guys.
Matthew, please.
Oops. Sorry, Chief. Not a good time for small talk, huh? Anyway, we got a problem. There's a thunderstorm broken out in the suites downstairs. Rain, lightning, wind, all that stuff.
That will be Thor. One moment. There.
My hammer's not working.
It is dealt with.
I'm not gonna kill that bloody cat.
Neat.
Now leave me, Matthew. The last of my surreptitious ambassadors is on its way to talk to me. And to cajole, or threaten, or bribe.
Okay, boss. Nice balloon you got there.
If you like it, Matthew, it is yours.
Huh?
Here, take it.
What will I do with a maroon? Thanks.
I am here.
It is the rip in space filled with eyes and teeth that is one of the former rulers, the Triumvirate of Hell.
Azazel, welcome. State your peace.
I seek the return of our lands, Morpheus. The lands of my people. The lands from which we have been unjustly expelled. I do not come to you as a mere ambassador, but as the representative of the whole of demonkind. Poor, dispossessed creatures whose homeland has been ripped from them. I seek natural justice, Morpheus. Give us back our world.
Save the speech-making for other times, Azazel. It leaves me unmoved. You want the hell that was Lucifer's. I cannot suppose that you came here relying on my good nature or my sense of natural justice. What are you offering me, Azazel?
Not one thing, but two, Dream Lord. Firstly, you came to Hell 2 years ago to retrieve your helmet. It was in the possession of one Corinzon, a Duke of the Eighth Circle and a captain of Beelzebub's hordes. Insolently, Corinzon challenged you, and you defeated him in the oldest game.
A vision of Corinzon, bound in spider's webs, appears in the air between them.
I brought him to the dream world just for you, Morpheus. He is helpless. He can be yours to take vengeance on. You can leave him screaming for an eternity.
I see. And the second thing?
Ah, that's nothing very much. Just a human female, condemned to hell 10,000 years past by a resentful lover.
Kaikul.
Ah, you have Nada.
Kaikul, help me.
Nada.
Nada, the African queen, whom Morpheus loved but could not persuade to become his consort. The human woman he condemned to hell for her obstinacy. She floats in a vision between them, bound with barbed wire, helpless, an expression of pain and suffering in her face, her eyes looking straight at Morpheus.
But isn't she a sweet and toothsome morsel? If you give me the key to hell, I'll throw her into the deal as a sweetener, you might say. If we cannot come to an agreement, though, unlikely as that prospect must be, I will take great pleasure in consuming her soul. I will gobble her up and gulp her down and make her a part of me forever. What tiny spark of her consciousness still remains after that will be mine. Do you understand me?
I do.
So I trust we have a deal, Dream Lord. Tomorrow you will make your announcement, and I will quit this place, carrying with me the key to hell, and leaving you with Corinzon and Nada.
Thank you, Azazel. I will take the matter under consideration. You may leave now.
What do you mean, take the matter under consideration? You want the girl, don't you? You went to hell for her. Surely you'll trade her for a key that cost you nothing, that you don't even want.
Azazel, you have told me what you are offering me. I have understood you. You will hear my decision tomorrow. Now, go.
Morpheus reaches into his robe and pulls out Lucifer's gift to him. The key to hell, with its pitted blade and sharp, thorn-like teeth. He ponders.
Of course, it's not just a favor we'd be asking. There is much the fairy can offer you.
One of these interlopers has some of your essence in him. He is a vessel for a fraction of your soul.
Give us the hell of Lucifer, Morpheus, or the entire host of Chaos will be at your throat until the end of time.
Name your price. Whatever it is, we will pay it.
I know where your brother can be found.
If we cannot come to an agreement, though, unlikely as that prospect must be, I will take great pleasure in consuming her soul.
With his mind preoccupied, Dream's fingers loosen. He drops the key. Morpheus picks the key up, examining it for damage with a look of torment on his face. He has no idea what to do.
If only it were that easy, if I could just throw it away. I cannot. I wonder what the morrow will bring.